fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
All right, all right, all right. Fire them up!
What's going on, everybody? And welcome to the Genre of Your Life podcast, your go-to podcast for all things movies, TV, entertainment, and a podcast that is celebrating 100 episodes. Boys,
yes,
100 episodes, guys. We made it 100 episodes later, and we're still here. You guys still like us, you guys still listen to us, you guys still subscribe. Like, we're here because of you all. But seriously, guys, 100 episodes. Congratulations to us all.
That's how do y'all feel about 100 episodes, man?
100 more, baby. 100 more.
Hell yeah.
I'm right there with you, you know.
Hell yeah.
What's that line in Wolf of Wall Street? He goes, "Hey man, rookie numbers, we gotta pump them up."
Oh yeah,
you gotta pump those numbers up.
How are you feeling about it?
I feel good. Like it's honestly kind of wild because like I was thinking about dang, when we started this, like you bring it up a lot. Like we were on Discord, man. I was in a different house. Mm-hmm. We started. It's like it went by super fast, but there's been so much life that's kind of happened like up to this point.
Oh, yeah.
So, man.
You're a married man.
I'm married now. I was like, no, it's a lot. It's a lot. That's wild, man. 100 episodes.
100 episodes. Milestone, baby. 100 episodes and 100 more. And I'm working on something really cool for us to do a giveaway, probably like a poster pack related to our audience who's listening or watching us. Be on the lookout for that. Try to figure out something soon that we're going to work behind the scenes to do for you all. Because we have been really cool. Some really cool things to give away, actually, from like maybe a few posters, digital code. And also, though, I do think we need to do also a giveaway maybe at the same time for, I think we're 19 away from 1,000 on YouTube. That'll also be a big giveaway as well, because that'll be a huge milestone for us, for the show, and for us where we stand upon other, you know, critics and YouTubers. So, definitely do a giveaway. What you got?
I feel like every 100 episodes, we got to do something to kind of mark that, you know?
All right, let's do it. Giveaway it is. Giveaway to do a giveaway and just celebrate 100th episodes. 100 episodes is rambling and our love and passion for TV, movies, and entertainment. But of course, I am one of your hosts, Doug Jones. With me, as always, are my amazing co-hosts and two of the most coolest people in the world. First off, it's the amazing, wonderful, incredible, it's Mr. Nick Johnson. What's going on, Nick?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. How you doing?
Doing good, my friend. Man, on a high right now. Life is good, man. It's getting a little too hot right now where we are in the world right now. It's a little toasty outside. It's a little heat wave. It's not what I wanted for 100 episodes for us. Can't win them all. But of course, not least, he is the wonderful, amazing, incredible. It's Mr. Moses Lai. What's going on, Moses?
What's going on? Glad to be here, you know, on the 100th episode.
Yes, sir.
And 100 more. You know, we gotta pump those. We gotta pump those numbers up. You know what I mean?
Number up, man. That's rookie numbers.
Rookie numbers.
We're gonna pump them up. But also, more importantly, you all are here. If you are returning to the show, welcome back. If you are new to the show, welcome to the podcast. We are so glad to have you all here. Again, this is a huge milestone for us, to Nick's point a few minutes ago, that doing the show almost now 4 years come Yeah, 4 years come November, which is hard to believe. November, we were on Discord. We had a fourth co-host at one point. We had a lot of life has happened for good and bad.
It's been a lot of shit going on.
A lot of shit in the past four years. But no, we're glad to be here.
But we're still here, baby.
We're still here, baby.
We're still here. Yeah.
You can't knock three pimps down, baby.
It's hot out here for a pimp, bro.
We ain't going nowhere.
I was talking to Lee last night before the screening, and she, how you doing? I'm like, as a girl, I am tired. And she goes, hey man, as a pimp should. And I'm like, you damn right, Lee.
Lee said that?
Yeah, Lee said that.
Oh my God.
So I love Lee for that. I'm like, you damn right, Lee.
She's invited to the cookout. Yeah. Now.
Oh, no question. But no, that was kind of funny. But no, it was I'll never forget when we posted our first episode on YouTube. Again, I don't know. I was still watching videos about, you know, editing and audio. Again, we were audio only for a long time too. And I'll forget this too, when the guys first comment. I hope it's still there too. Our first video was our Black Adam at a theater reaction that we did. It was our first kind of like official video to the channel. And again, I didn't know how to edit like any of like clips, whatever, that time, or where to get clips. And then when we posted our audio episode, if you're still listening, I hope you are, because I remember their first comment was, man, your audio fucking sucks. And I replied back, I'm like, thank you. Thanks for watching. We'll get better. We're learning, whatever, too. So I hope if you're still watching, listening to us, you're day one. So thank you for that comment. Thank you for the words of encouragement. I'll say that. Started from the bottom. Now we're here.
Yeah. Sooner or later, by our next, 200th episode, right? You know, we'll all be like in one single room together and everything like that. You know,
gonna have our own studio.
We're gonna have our own studio.
A fucking staff, bro.
That's the plan, baby.
Yeah.
Dream big.
Yeah.
Dream big.
Yeah.
You have to, man. We have to. That's the plan. That is the plan. It'll be so cool. Wishful thinking, baby. Here's hoping.
Yeah. Here's hoping.
It's open. But of course, you can find this podcast on your favorite podcast platform, whether it's Spotify, Apple, Amazon, YouTube, Music, or again, your favorite podcast platform of choice. You can also find our full video element of our show, youtube.com/Midway Avenue Productions. Again, we're so close, guys. I think we're like 19 away from 1,000. That's huge for us, for the show. Another big milestone. I mean, really cool to have those milestones kind of back to back with the 100th episode and that. Again, shout out to Nick's amazing wife, Kaylin, who's been killing it. As our YouTube manager right now, I'm calling out our YouTube manager because she's been doing great with the SEO stuff and all the thumbnails. So thank you, Kaylin, once again. But again, don't let her amazing work go to no use, because you know why? We need 1,000 subs, guys. We were so close. Yep. We are so close. We are right there. So thank you, please. Thank you all for who's been watching us through shorts, from our reviews to our reactions to the podcast. Seriously, though, because 1,000 is going to be a huge deal for us. And again, more opportunities for us. Down the line for coverage and events and the more South Bys and TIFFs and Comic-Con, all that kind of stuff too. So again, that it does mean a lot to us also, but people that we want to work with, definitely check out those numbers. So again, please help us out with that. And of course, Apple Podcasts too, as always, 200 ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts, again, because Apple Podcasts really is the heart and soul of filmmaking podcasting. So again, we still have a goal of 200 reviews and ratings. So again, help us get there too. Hopefully by this summer, we hit that out finally as well. But again, thank you all for the support. If you've been new to the show or watching us for day one, thank you all for being here with us, getting us to 100 episodes. This is definitely a team effort from all of us to all you. Thank you all for tuning in and watching us, sharing with your friends, family, teachers, professors, janitors, you name it, doctors, please. Thank you all for sharing this, because again, it means a lot to us and we love doing this. So again, thank you all for this kind of support you've given us and showed us the past couple of years. And again, 100 more, boys, 100 more.
100 more.
We're on our way.
Hell yeah.
We're on our way. And starting off with this tonight's episode, as you probably saw on our social medias, I was in Austin for South by Southwest 2026. Bear with me. I am still editing. I'm still getting through all the footage. It's funny. Someone DM'd me last night. They go, hey, you got any reactions or reviews for Pizza Movie? I said, I sure do. Stay tuned. So I have a lot of stuff. It's really cool that people are asking about that too. Because, which I'm kind of proud of, humble brag, is that I always, last year, Nick saw this too last year, where I was like, I always record the entire Q&As and the intros, because people do love watching that stuff. So I recorded everything, most of everything I saw. I recorded all the Q&As. Some will be better because I was closer to the stage than I was a few others. A few others I was in the back, unfortunately. But still, you know, the iPhone, new iPhones have a good Zoom, you know, quality on it. So I'll be getting those hopefully to you all by the end of the weekend and finishing up my recaps and a few reactions. Look out for that. But anyway, I was in South by Southwest the other day, and probably my most anticipated movie there was a movie called Ready or Not 2. And I was very late to this, the first one, maybe like 2 years ago, because when it came out, we were in college. I think we were seniors in college when it came out, and that's right when Disney bought Fox, and we all know what happened with that. A lot of those movies kind of went under the radar and not really kind of well known. Or well marketed, I should say. And then I think Ready or Not was on HBO for like a minute and then it got pulled. So I remember I was watching it during COVID and it was on HBO and they pulled it. And I was like, well, I can't find it anywhere. You couldn't even rent it at that point. It was hard to, you could buy it on Blu-ray or DVD. And I was like, well, I might hate the movie. I might not like it. I don't want to buy it. So I waited for like maybe a year or so to watch it. And I watched these guys, Radio Silence, Tyler and Matt. They did stuff like Scream 5 and Scream 6. And I was like, oh, okay, I now know who these guys are. And they also did a movie that I fucking love called Abigail. I love Abigail. That was my top 10 of that year.
That was a great movie. It was great.
Wasn't it so? Yeah. It was so good. It was original. It was funny. Yeah. Had a great cast. I just love, I love, 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 love that movie.
Yeah.
So then I think I saw Ready or Not.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Finally, that summer after Abigail came out, because it was on Hulu finally when Disney got it back to Hulu. And I, you know, it was late to the party. I loved Ready or Not, but I did love Abigail a bit more. But I love these guys, their direction. I love their love for love for horror and comedy and just movies. They love movies. And I think they won me over with Scream 6, but Abigail was the one where I was like, oh, these guys know how to make some cool ass movies.
Yeah.
And Matt and Tyler. So anyway, I was looking forward to seeing Ready or Not 2. We had to be there for sure. The opening, it was the second day 2 premiere, and we got online a little early. We got some great seats in the front, and man, let me pull this up real quick before I forget. And man, before I even get to hold the summary of the movie, I'll say this: I fucking love this movie. I fucking love this movie so much. And it's really the perfect movie to see at South By, as you know, Nick knows too. It's like you're in a 1,200 auditorium, person auditorium, and people are cheering, they're clapping, they're going wild for it, and like this legit is like the perfect kind of movie to see with the South By crowd. But if we're going to get further, Ready or Not 2, Here I Come. After surviving an all-out attack from the Domus family, Grace discovers she's reached the next level of nightmarish game, and this time with her estranged sister, Faith, by her side. To survive, Grace must keep Faith alive and claim the high seat of the council that controls the world. Four rival families are also hunting for the throne, and whoever wins will rule it all. I love this movie more than the first one. I think this movie goes hard, man. It is bombastic in the best possible way. It is bloody. It is over the top gory. But man, if you were in the theater with me, the cheers in this movie was like, they were like praising the movie gods, because people were just going like nuts, nuts for this movie.
Yeah.
And yeah. I was sitting there because I was just like, oh man, this is so much fun. But what I love about this movie, again, to Radio Silence's credit, again, Matt and Tyler, was that these guys really know how to master horror and comedy very well. And, you know, I think a few people like, obviously, Jordan Peele does it really well. I'm really big on, like, how, if you can, like, really, if you guys can really, like, you know, blend two genres together in a very kind of masterful way, it makes the movie, enhances the movie so much better. And I think with the Scream movies had comedy and horror really well. Abigail had a lot of comedy, a lot of horror. And these movies, both Ready or Not and Ready or Not 2, also have crazy amount of horror and comedy, but it's balanced well. Because we've seen movies recently where the horror is horroring and the comedy is comedy, but like they don't really kind of like, you know, mesh together. This movie, they definitely mesh so well together. And that's probably because of how they casted it with Catherine Noon and Tamara Weaving. Because again, I'll be honest, in a recent horror movie, these two are my now new favorite dynamic duo. I love them together. They are perfect together as sisters. They scream a lot in this movie. So be prepared if you're sitting in the front or middle. The screams are loud. The screams are loud. And there's a lot of like kind of like gory gut busting violence. You're like, oh shit. Again, the people were cheering when someone like blew up. It was like they were going like, damn, like Iron Man walked into the screen. Like people were going crazy for like the kills and the thrills. And you're like, oh my god.
You know what's? Yeah. I was gonna say, you know what's great about, you know, you're going to South by Southwest and everything is that, you know, for films like this, you would not in hell see a movie like this, you know, in a film festival like South by Southwest,
yep,
at all, like 10 years ago.
Yep. Nope.
At all.
Nope.
They'll be like, what the hell are you bringing into a freaking festival? You know, nope. They'll kick you out. But now, you know, you got movies like this, mm-hmm, you know, sequels, you know, sequels that are basically being, you know, like praised, you know, yeah, like crazy.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, like great for horror fans. You know, it's mm-hmm also, which is also great for, because now you have, you know, like award shows that are also now praising, you know, horror films.
Yes, sir.
You know, like Weapons, you know, like Sinners and everything like that. So, you know, horror films, man, they're coming up.
They're coming up, dude. Yeah. I cannot agree more. And when you next year, you'll see this firsthand. It's like these genres really do say a lot. I mean, last year when we saw stuff like The Accountant 2, or we saw movies like Good Boy, or even Together as well, is like, right, last year. We saw a lot of movies last year that were genre-based that people were going crazy for. So I feel like, you know, again, you know, it's always cool to see prestigious movies as well. Don't get me wrong. But
but
when you're in an auditorium and people are clapping, getting up, like at a concert, you're like, this is a movie. People are acting this way. It's surreal in the best possible way. It's surreal. And yeah. Yeah. I think that for sure, I guess I'm a little biased. I'm to the premiere. Yes, I'm a little biased for sure. But like, I had the biggest smile on my face the whole movie, where I was like, this movie is just so much, it's just fun. It was just so much fun. Yeah. And to your point too, Moses, I think horror is for sure having a big moment now with the success of Sinners and Weapons and a lot of movies. But this is why I think Radio Silence, these guys really know how to make crowd pleasing movies, because again, they're just movie fans at first. They love movies.
Yeah.
They know what the audience likes. And I think what's really cool is that they also do some really cool ensemble movies. Like, obviously, this is ensemble. The first one was Abigail ensemble, Scream's ensemble. You know, a lot of times you see movies with filmmakers that really can't handle the ensemble very well, or not like kind of like not well ratio, that makes sense. But are well spread out, but Matt and Tyler really know how to, like, everyone gets their moment in this movie. Everyone, Sarah Michelle Gellar does, the supporting cast does, Elijah Wood does, Catherine Noon does, Tamara Weaving does, like, Kevin Durant even gets it too, a small role. Like, everyone gets their moment in this movie, and I do credit these guys a lot of, like, wow, they give everyone their moment to shine, because I feel a lot of filmmakers would, like, not make it as even for the ensemble cast, but I think back to really Abigail was when I kind of proved to me, where I was like, oh no, these guys know how to make their ensemble characters really pop for everyone, for everybody.
Yeah.
And there's also just cool dudes too. Like, it's funny, humble brag. I was actually DMing Tyler the other day on Instagram about his movie, and he was so cool DMing me back, whatever. Could not have been nicer, like, on Instagram.
That's
like,
cool.
I was tagging him on my stuff. He was like, "Man, thanks for watching the movie, Doug." I was like, "No, man, thank you for making this movie." I was like, "No, man, thank you." And what's cool too is that they're doing the next Mummy movie with Brendan Fraser. So these guys are perfect.
Wow, that's great.
Perfect.
That's great. Perfect. I'm gonna keep an eye out. I'm gonna keep an eye out for them for sure.
The perfect for this movie. It goes, man. And honestly, when you see Elijah Wood in this movie, Elijah Wood kind of plays this really kind of creepy, like, lawyer. Even David Cronenberg is in this movie too, which is kind of funny. Like,
I thought I saw his name in the credits. I was like, David, not the director.
Yeah, he was there. He was in the movie, not the Q&A, but he was there.
Yeah.
But even someone I didn't know, like, there was a few actors like these guys right here who plays the new additions, Sean Hatosi, I'm probably butchering his name, and even he was the mayor. This guy, Nestor Carbonell. He was the mayor in Dark Knight. Dark Knight. Yeah, he's really funny too. His like kids were kind of funny. Kevin Durant's funny. Who was too cold? Who stole the show?
Kevin Durant is in this movie.
Yeah, you'll see his role. It's funny. It's really funny.
I'm like, what?
But no, it's Samara Weaving too. I think when I first saw her movies, I was like, oh, she's like almost like a Margot Robbie, and I was like, I don't know about her. But she's really proven over the years that she can really hold a movie, and she's badass as hell in this. Both her and Catherine Noon, like, they get like the shit kicked out of them, and they're still badass as hell. And they had just great chemistry. Like, at times, me and Nina both were like, they feel like actual sisters, and I was like, wow, the chemistry was just. Chemistry in, that's not even a word, but like they were actually full on chemistry. I was like, oh, this works, and it was perfect casting for the cast Catherine Newton in this. And again, Sarah Michelle Gellar, who again, like, we grew up with her as obviously Daphne from Scooby Doo. She kills it too. She's scary in this movie. I was like, oh shit.
Ooh, okay.
I will say, I think the end gets a little like too, I guess, a little too. Gothic in a way where I was like, oh, okay, I get why they're doing it because of like the whole like the undertone of like the whole setup. So I get it, but the end I was kind of like, oh, okay, like I get it, but I wasn't like, oh Lord. But it's a funny payoff what happens at the end. But it is brutal. It's violent. It's funny as hell. But man, I absolutely love this movie. I can't wait to see it again. I loved it more than the first one. This was just really, like, again, the perfect movie to see at South By, and the fact that people reacted the way they did. And again, I also give Disney credit for, like, not like putting this to streaming. So the first one was more of a cult hit. The first one was low budget. It was a cult following.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at rss.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
And I hope this one does well for Disney and Searchlight, everyone there, for Matt and Tyler, for the whole Radio Silence team. Because again, it's really cool to see like guys who love making movies make movies like this for everybody, and it just works. And I think these guys, I'm a fan of them now for life after Abigail, now after this for sure. And like I said, them doing Mummy, it is perfect. Like, that's like a match made in heaven with Brendan Fraser, that kind of movie, and those guys. Like, it's I cannot wait. So Love this movie. Yeah, supporting cast is great. Elijah Wood was really cool too. Seeing them kind of, in a very kind of dumb, weird kind of role as well. This was them at the intro of the movie. And it was cool too. I respect they brought out the entire, like, their producers, their crew as well. It was really cool. It brought out some their team as well. And then there's Elijah Wood. And there's Catherine Noon. There's Sarah Michelle. It's like, because she wasn't there. So it's like Catherine Noon, like, FaceTimed her. Samara Weaving as they're walking out on stage, right? And you see Samara Weaving on her phone, like, waving at everybody, people going crazy. And they had cutouts of Samara Weaving's face on the red carpet. So that was cool. So they had the only talent there was these four, and then the supporting cast was sitting in the back behind us at the theater, but the four on stage was these four. And they're definitely kind of the main four, besides, of course, Samara Weaving, but it was cool, yeah. And Matt and Tyler definitely kind of like hyped up the crowd before the movie even began. So love this movie. I can't say it's damn near perfect, but I'm giving this a solid 9 out of 10 because I love this movie. Wow. I love this movie. Favorite movie of the year so far. I know the year is pretty young still, but man, I was like, I was on a high after this movie. I was on a high. I was like, and what sucked too is that I won't say the movie what it is yet, but you'll know sure enough is that when we after this movie, when we couldn't get into the after party, we went back in line for another movie, and that movie was so shitty where I was kind of like, man, I saw a great movie, now I'm seeing a shitty one. I was like, God damn it. And I was like, oh man.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
I was going to ask you, Is this movie going to be, your companionship movie for this year?
What's funny? On the drive to work today, I was like, is this my companion this year? And I think I was, I am a little biased. Again, I went to the premiere. I was in the third row. I saw the whole cast and crew, whatever. So, like, biased. But I think with what we have this year with, you know, we got Michael, we got Odyssey, we got Spider-Man, we got, like, you know, like, I mean, we have so much. We got Dune. We got
Doomsday.
We got Digger. We got so much this year where it's like,
yeah.
I'll tell you what, this will for sure be in my top 10. For sure. For sure. I mean, if it gets knocked out, I'm going to be like, damn, what the hell? But there's a really strong chance that, like, this will be in my top 10. Because I remember walking out of Abigail and I was like, I was on a high of that movie too, where I was like, yo, this movie was awesome. So, yeah. I don't know. I just love, again, movies like this where it's just fun. Again, I'm a sucker for a good genre hybrid movie with horror and thriller and action and comedy. Yeah. It's like, when it's done right, it's done right. And I think Radio Silence has definitely mastered the horror, thriller, action, comedy, like all those in one very well, more than other filmmakers do nowadays, if you ask me, and they just get it. But yeah, no, this movie was great. And again, I'm so glad South by had this as one of the main premieres. I love this movie. I really do. I can't wait to watch it again. And it's not really tracking that well, unfortunately, but hopefully maybe.
What's the release date? When is the release date?
Tonight. Ooh. And Project Hail Mary is right now killing it too, which
segue.
But no, love this movie. If you love the first one, you love just kind of badass action horror, you know, comedy movies like this, see this one. See it with a crowd. Please, 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 please see it with a crowd. But see opening weekend to support this movie. Support Radio Silence. Support Catherine Noon and Samara Weaving, the whole cast. This movie really just kicks ass, man. It was awesome. But yeah, it was great. But all right, moving on to our next review, and movie that we've all seen, actually. I'm happy. I saw your Letterboxd review, Moses. I'm like, yes, he saw it before us. I'm like, yes, fuck yeah, Moses. let's get into Project Hail Mary, one that everyone's been talking about now for a long time. This is Phil Lord and Chris Miller. He did the Jump Street movies, Meatballs, Lego movies, Spider-Verse movies. Should have done Solo.
Oh, real?
we'll get into that, too. But this is based off the book by Andy Weir, who also wrote The Martian, and funny enough, Drew Goddard, who adapted The Martian, also wrote this movie as well. But again, also Ryan Gosling, you know, one of our best working and versatile actors working today. Look into Project Hail Mary, and we'll start off with this. Project Hail Mary, science teacher Ryland Grace wakes up on a spaceship with no recollection of who he is or how he got there. As his memory slowly returns, he soon discovers he must solve the riddle behind a mysterious substance that's causing the sun to die out. As details of the mission unravel, he calls on his scientific training and sheer ingenuity, but he may not have to do it alone. That's a pretty good synopsis. All right, Moses, solid. You saw it first. Did you see it in IMAX too?
Yes, I did. I saw it on.
Oh boy!
Yeah, I was able to see it on 70 millimeter. It's funny, man, because I was looking for a movie to basically see, you know, in theaters and everything like that. I was like, man, I want to go see a movie, you know, like tomorrow, whatever it is. And then I go, and then I basically scroll on, you know, on the Regal app, and then I see, you know, a 7 p.m., you know, like preview showing.
Yeah.
And I click on it, and there's no seats, bro. There's no seats.
No.
Guess where I sat, bro.
Oh no, you sat not in the front. You sat in the front, dude.
Oh my
bro, God. Bro, you get an IMAX a climax.
You know what? You know what's crazy though? You know how the seats are recliner and everything like that? I basically the seats are recliner and everything like that, which were a big help. You know, I basically like leaned like all the way back, you know, like to make sure that I didn't break my neck.
He was the Willem Dafoe.
I'm telling you bro, like I was like, you know, I'm just gonna go watch it, who cares? I don't care if I'm sitting in front.
You sound like this.
Oh my god.
He saw it like this.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Front row, that's brave.
Hey, good thing that we had recliners, because if I didn't, I would definitely have saw it like that. 100%. 100%. But, and also, you know, the screen is also like a little bit farther away from the seats.
Okay, gotcha.
And everything, you know, so it's like, you know, you can see everything clearly, mm-hmm. you know, you don't have to see everything like what you just saw me and everything like that, where the chin becomes all fucking
distorted,
big and everything.
Yeah.
Distorted. Yeah. So, the screen was far back enough and everything. And also the recliner seats too as well, which also really helped too. And it was great, man. It was great. I enjoyed it. I had a good time. I had a really, really good time. And the crowd was like, it was packed in there, bro.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
It was like packed. I look back and I turn around. I'm like, man, like it's like everybody's in here, man. You know, you know, like right now, this is definitely like my favorite movie. Like right now, you know, there's gonna be other movies that I know are gonna top this movie.
Yeah.
But as of right now, you know, it definitely goes Hail Mary and then Crime 101. I really enjoy that movie. It was great. And like you watch this movie and the second main character of this film is, I hope this is not exactly a spoiler, but it's Rocky, right? It's just Rock, but it's like you're watching the movie and it's like, why do I care about this Rock, bro? What are you doing? He doesn't have a face. Like, what am I supposed to do? You know what I mean?
I was wondering, like, how does the physiology like work exactly for a creature as this?
Yeah, like I was like, what are y'all doing right now? You know, like, but then it's like, you know, as the movie's progressing and everything like that, you start to actually like. You know, you start to actually get a lot of like detail from this like Rock, not exactly from, you know, like his like, you know, physical, like, you know, like, you know, personality, whatever it is, but just from, you know, the humane aspect that, you know, Ryan Gosling's character was able to basically, you know, take from this character, yep. Rocky and everything like that. And as the movie's progressing, it's like, damn, man, you don't want anything to happen. This Rock.
I've never fucking cared about a Rock before. Man.
No,
man.
It's like, Rocky, no. No,
yeet.
But yeah, I mean, it was great. It was also very inspirational too, as well, for some reason.
Yeah,
you know.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more.
Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at rss.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With rss.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
And if this movie, I'm telling you, if this movie was like released like later in the year, like it would, there would have been so much buzz, so much like, you know, critically acclaimed like buzz for like
award ceremonies, awards,
yeah, and win everything like that.
Yep,
because it's a really, really good film.
Yeah,
you know, it really, really is. And yeah, you know, it's crazy how his character is kind of just like, this is not exactly a spoiler because it's in the trailer. Like his character is just kind of just thrown into this, you know, like I don't know, into this like thing where he has to basically save the freaking universe, you know, save the planet, you know, which is crazy.
Him being a PhD, he has a PhD. That's all he has.
Yeah,
he's a teacher.
He's a teacher. Yeah. You know what I mean? But he definitely killed it. I hope this movie does well. You know, I know it's a long one. I know it's like a 2 hour and like 30 something.
It went.
It doesn't feel like 2 hours.
It went.
It
just goed. It went. I was like, oh, whoa.
It went. You know, it did. It went really, really fast. So I hope people, you know, go out and see it. I'm hearing that it's gonna do really, really well opening weekend.
Good.
But we'll see, man. I'm excited. I'm gonna go see it again.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah.
Project, yeah, because I know Amazon really needs this. This is Amazon's like biggest.
They need. I know they need a win. Yeah, I know they need a win for sure.
Yeah, weekend preview. That's huge. 78 mil would be huge.
Yeah,
that's huge because remember they're really putting out movies because they picked up the slack from Fox when back in the days. This probably would have been a Fox weekend or whatever too, because again they're putting movies like this.
Yeah, it would have.
Amazon really kind of like, cool, Fox is out of the picture now. Well, to a degree, but like now Amazon's putting out stuff like this and Crime 101 and Unfortunately Mercy, but they're putting out movies, but it's like they're putting out movies that like we need stuff like this to work at the movies, and I think this is their biggest. I think it's this. I think theatrical speaking, though, this and the He-Man one, is their two biggest movies that they're going to produce. So, and this one is definitely needs to be a hit. That's so cool. Saw it in IMAX, and you saw it with a crowd that was enjoying it too. That's like
it was. Yeah, whew. Yeah. It was packed. It was really, really packed. And the cinematography was great.
Oh, Greg Frazier, man,
it was beautiful. You know, it was great, you know. Yeah, I haven't been locked in. Like, there's a lot of sequences in this movie where I'm just like completely just like locked in, man. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but it was great. It was great.
Oh,
you know?
Man.
Yeah.
All right, Nick, what'd you think?
Oh, God, excuse me. Pardon me. No, honestly, I loved it. I would give it. I'd give this movie like an A+. I thought it was really good. I do like the.
Sure, it's not a D. No,
it was. It almost was. It almost was. Oh, no. But no, because like Moses had mentioned, like you kind of how he starts off, or like the film starts off, and like he's kind of just like in the middle of it all. And I like when movies and stories start off in media res.
Yep.
Because you know, I like in the case of this guy, like I like that it was like we kind of had to figure out like what is he doing here, like with him, and then, you know, like da 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 da. But no, like the this movie it hit a lot harder than I thought it was going to. Like, cause I thought it was gonna be more of like kind of like a science fiction like mystery type, but it was a lot more like heartfelt. I was starting to kind of like tear up a little bit, like a couple of times.
Oh yeah.
And you know, that was a really pleasant surprise. But I did love like the visuals, the shots of space, the I don't know if this is like a spoiler, but there was like a certain, shall we say, like trail kind of that he had to investigate. I thought that was really cool, seeing like the planet and, you know, the relationship between Grace and Rocky, I did think was really well done. And I'm trying not to spoil it because I only saw like the first trailer, so I don't know like what they showed and everything else. But the design of Rocky, just how the relationship evolved, I thought was really cool. The ending I thought was really satisfying, yeah. You know, for Grace's yeah. character. And I did like seeing kind of how it's like seeing the struggle with them. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like I kind of feel yeah. like I have to do this. I know that, like, deep down, I know that I got to do it, but it's like I can't bring myself to it. And it reminds me of that phrase. I'm going to misquote it, so forgive me, but it's like some people are, like, born into greatness. Some people achieve greatness, and some mm-hmm. people have greatness thrust upon them. Like, that was a pretty prevalent thing here. You know, again, like, the visuals, like, Rocky's ship I thought was really cool. Yeah. This movie really made, like, I like all of the Lord and Miller movies that I've seen, but I, you know, this one just, it felt like a little bit more, I don't want to say like special necessarily, but it definitely stands out. And, you know, like you and I were talking about this when we left the movie, like they really should have done Solo. Like I like Solo as is, but man, had they done the Solo movie? I don't know.
There they were.
It's a shame, but this movie, Kilmer, because I think it made me actually want to like listen to the audiobook now.
Me too.
Now that yeah. I've seen the movie.
Me so, too.
I honestly loved it though. I loved it.
Oh man. It's a good podcast when you got the three hosts, all three of us loving this movie, because I love this movie too, really. And to Nick right away, man, this is what happens. Like you said yesterday after we walked out in the movie, was that this is what happens when you trust your filmmakers. Filmmakers, you have a great team. You got two great directors. You got a great writer, Drew Goddard. You got a great cinematographer with Greg Fraser. And, you know, this is like, again, it's like you fire these guys from Solo. I mean, I'm sorry to bring the old shit up again, but it's like, what were you thinking? Like, I'm sorry. Yeah, Kathleen Kennedy, hold this fucking L. Like, I'm with all due respect, a little disrespect, I'm like, yo, hold this L, because they, and what's crazy too is that these guys have not missed. I mean, with the first Meatball movie was there, first Lego movie was theirs. Obviously, Jump Street is great. And what's funny too is that this is the first movie that they actually directed and since Jump Street. And 12 years, because they wrote and produced Spider-Verse. They're the main creatives behind Spider-Verse. They wrote and produced those movies. That is their baby. That is like their, like, you know, heart and soul was those movies. And you could tell when you watch both Spider-Verse movies, their DNA is all over it, those movies. Like their style, the humor and the comedy, the quick cuts, whatever. Like, that's why Jump Street was so good, because it was like, those were their first kind of like live action movies, and it worked. Because they went from animation to animation, Jump Street, back to animation, back to Jump Street, and then they went back into Solo. But really, though, is that you fire these guys from a Star Wars movie, and then they do, first off, they won the Oscar for best animated movie that year after they got fired. Huge win, huge W.
And I'd be embarrassed.
I'd be embarrassed too. And now they made this kind of banger of a movie. Lucasfilm, what the hell were you thinking? Like, come on. Like, come on. And Moses, you and I had this conversation about those years ago. You know, I'm kind of pissed about this, where they shot most of that movie. And what was their credit on it? Like, special thanks? And you and I were mad about that. You and I were like, oh, hell no. We were like, oh, no. We were like, no, 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 no.
Bro, that's crazy, bro.
Special thanks ain't enough, man.
Bro, special thanks, man.
That's foul. That is hell. Wild,
bro. At least give him, like, you know, freaking, you know, like a
producer,
like
credit, or something.
Producer credit, or even like second unit
something.
Director or whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But yeah. Hey, thanks, man. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is wild, man. You know what I mean? It's like it's like, you know, doing an class assignment, and then it's like you do all the hard work, and then, you know, the person that did nothing gets all the praise, and you just get like, hey, thanks, man.
Yeah, the person that gets all the praise, like, man, good job.
Yeah.
Like, hey,
I don't blame Ron Howard for that either. I think Ron Howard had to, Ron Howard had to do his thing. Ron Howard got put into a very tricky situation, and Ron Howard had to do his thing. But it was kind of a lose-lose for everybody because there was so much bad juju around that movie to begin with. Yeah. But again, these guys casted Alden. The guys casted Glover, Donald Glover. The guys casted Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Emilia Clarke, and Woody Harrelson. Like, these guys had all, like, the groundwork. And I just, like, you're right. Like, what could have been? Like, did Bulletin Blockbusters ever do, like, what could have been Lord and Miller solo?
You know, I don't think they did. They've done a couple of Star Wars videos, but I'm not sure that they tackled Solo yet.
They should. After this movie, after Hail Mary, they should, because I feel like, and I do like Solo a lot, because I know the DNA of their movie is still there to a degree. It's there in parts. It's there in parts.
I'm actually about to check real quick, because I think they mentioned something. Let me double check.
I don't know. I was really hyped for Solo because of these guys doing it. I'm like, I love the Jump Street movies. I love Lego Movie. Meatballs are really funny. I just like, you know. But anyway, this movie, though, to me, you're right, Nick. This is a very special movie. I think this is really Lord and Miller, again, trying something different in the filmography. They went, from animation back to comedy, animation again, now doing live action, sci-fi, big scope and scale. But this movie works everyone involved. Ryan Gosling is superb in this. And again, Ryan Gosling, I feel like the past 10 years now, has proven once and again, he can do no wrong. Like, he might be in, like, not so decent movies. He's still good in those movies. And
yeah, they're never bad because of him.
Never.
They did do a Solo video.
Oh, cool. Okay. I am watching this after this episode. I am watching that. But again, Ryan Gosling can do comedy, Crazy Stupid Love, Nice Guys. He can do action, you Drive. He can do sci-fi, Blade Runner 2049, and this movie. Like,
he can do horror. He did this. I think it was with Ewan McGregor.
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken,
horror.
He can do drama. He can do drama. Place Beyond the Pines.
Yeah.
Perfect movie. Yeah. I love that movie.
Great
film. DC or Marvel needs to cast him already.
Dude, he would kill it. He would kill it because he's not missed in the past 10 years. I mean, think about it. 10 years you had La La Land, The Nice Guys, Barbie, this movie, Blade Runner 2049. I'm like, this dude just hits after hit after hit. It's like, whoa, like, it just, it really just works. And his time, he's getting, obviously his comedic timing has always been good from Crazy Stupid Love to Nice Guy, not to and Barbie, of course, not to this. But man, this movie, I think he really taps into something very special in this movie, because again, he's playing this, you know, like, not really kind of like your typical hero. But again, he's thrown into this thing. He's a teacher, he's a PhD. And you're with him along the way, and you feel for him at times. Because, yeah, and also, too, he's alone. Well, for the most part, then he was Rocky. But, like, still, though, like, he's really, like, to your point, too, Mo, is that he has this huge burden on his shoulders to, like, save humanity and save this, whatever.
Yeah.
And, again, he keeps saying, I'm not qualified for this. But we're with him the entire time. And this movie really is really heavy on him of, like, hey, this has to work from his performance. You got to believe him. And from the opening, from the opening shot of him with, like, you know, out of the bag, and you're like, whoa, like, what is this? And we're thrown right into it right away. I don't know, man. It just really works. And I think Drew Goddard, again, I think Drew Goddard's script is really sharp. It's super funny. And I think Drew Goddard working with Lord and Miller was also a match made in heaven, too, because I felt like they played so well off each other that, like, hey, you know, Drew Goddard definitely handled The Martian really well with the comedy and the sci-fi. And that was a Ridley Scott movie. Now you have Lord and Miller. You can do the comedy a lot. And even to Nick's point yesterday, walking on the movie, this movie is a lot funnier than I thought it was going to be. This movie brings the comedy. This movie really brings the comedy. Again, not surprising, because again, it's Lord and Miller. Their background is comedy and, you know, family comedy and, you know, dumb street comedies. But, like, these guys know comedy very well. And kind of like how we talked about Radio Silence earlier, is that Lord and Miller know how to do the genre stuff really well. Like, Jump Street is super funny, and it's hardcore action. Spider-Verse, you know, superhero, comic booky, self-discovery, comedy. Lego Movie, bombastic, you know, colorful, you know, zany, kind of goofy, still comedy, a lot of heart to it. And all their movies have heart to it. Even Jump Street, like, again, it's like 21, 22, about, like, you know, fitting in when you're either you're a grown ass adult or you're trying to be a narc, you know, it's like you're trying to fit in. And all their movies have heart, and it doesn't matter if it's a rated R comedy or a movie like this or Spider-Verse, their movies all have heart, and they bring so much like depth and so much kind of like humanity to them. And this movie definitely has that. Again, Greg Fraser, awesome, man, what a run.
I love Greg Fraser, dude, the Dune
movies, gosh. Batman, this, I mean, yeah. Dude, I mean, I think he did.
I'm glad.
Good.
No, I was gonna say, I'm glad that, you know, when I saw this on you know 70mm IMAX and everything like that, it was, you know, it was that, you know, one four three aspect ratio and everything like that, which was good. Great. You know, it was great.
Good.
I think he understands how. I'm glad Greg Fraser understands how. You know how important that 1:43 aspect ratio is, man. You know, for IMAX and everything like that, especially moving forward. You know, and I'm excited for, you know, I mean, I know it's a different cinematographer, but I'm excited for Dune Part 3 because I know that 1:43 aspect ratio is also going to be very, very important because I know they have a new DP for that. But
yep,
hey, man, yeah. But you know what I hate is that I don't like how Greg Fraser just like kind of just. Maybe he didn't want to do Dune anymore, and he decided to just go on to do this other movies with, you know, like this band. I forgot what they're called.
Oh, he's
the cinematographer for that what is it called? It's like one of the biggest bands in the freaking like universe. What am I forgetting?
I feel like I don't listen to music because I'm like, no, I don't know.
He's doing the Beatles.
What's Sam Mendes?
He's doing the Beatles. The Beatles.
Oh, the Beatles.
Yeah, the Beatles.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, he's doing that.
I was like Rolling Stones. I was like, that. I was like,
oh my god.
Oh, he's doing.
I thought you meant he was filming like a music.
I did too. He's on tour now. He was like doing like actual like footage. Like he was touring with the band and recording them. I was like, oh damn, that's a big jump from movies to a tour. I'm like, hey man, hey.
I was like, that's a
very.
I hope nobody listens to this and is like Moses or. Or any of us is like, damn, y'all didn't know.
Fools!
You fools, you know.
I'm so embarrassed. Hey, Moses, we're going to have Doug cut this part of the podcast out. So no one's going to hear it or see it. We're good. We're covered.
The Beatles. Oh, you mean the Beatles? Yes, of course the Beatles. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, well, matter of fact, let's just rewind about five minutes.
Oh, the Beatles.
Yeah, yeah. So talking about the Beatles, he's actually going to be Beatles,
that's right.
I love the Beatles. That's my favorite. That's my band. You know, that's like I never listened to the Beatles.
That's the band.
I'm so glad that we learned a long time ago that Greg Fraser was doing the Beatles movies, man. I'm proud of us.
I'm actually gonna go back and watch some of these movies because I haven't seen him, and he's the DP for.
I love Lion's great. Lion's a great. Oh,
yeah, Lion is great.
It's a great movie. Hits you in the feels. Lion's great. Yeah. Rogue One, he did. Vice is a very strange movie. That's a very strange movie to do. Mandalorian. He did a few Mandalorian. Did Dune, of course. He did Batman. Yeah. That's baller, bro. Look at that. Dune, the Batman, the creator, and Dune Part 2. Now this. Yeah. That's a run.
What? Who's doing Part 3?
Linus. He did. He was the DP
for like La La Land, and also he was also the DP for that movie that just came out this year, Wuthering Heights.
Yeah, I think he's Del Toro's DP. Right? No, who am I thinking?
No, Guillermo Del Toro.
No, who's Toro's guy?
Guillermo is somebody else. But that's what's her name? The director for Wuthering Heights. I'm forgetting her name.
She uses him too. She's I think the DP also did No Time to Die.
And remember, to be fair,
No Time to Die, we didn't get it here at Phoenix, but No Time to Die was shot on 70mm IMAX too. It was a small release, but it was shot on 1:43. Yeah. I think it's Linus something. He's a good DP. Yeah, Linus Sandgren, yeah. He did First Man, La La Land, No Time to Die, Saltburn.
I do like No Time to Die. I still got to see Saltburn.
Oh, it's Moses' favorite movie.
Yeah, it's Damien says. I haven't even seen that movie, bro.
No. Yes, you did.
You haven't seen Saltburn? No, that's not what I heard.
Oh, wait, no, sorry. I thought you meant Wuthering Heights.
Oh, no, Saltburn. You're right. Yo, fuck this movie.
Yeah, no.
I gotta see it, man.
You're like, oh, fuck man. This movie.
Yeah, this movie is it's crazy. Hey, no hate on the director, because I know the director is great, and she has a very
strange, out there.
Like, look at things, which is great, because we need other sort of, like, you know, other uniqueness to the film industry.
Yeah, you need other, like, perspective. Who directed it?
Emerald Fennell.
Yeah, the same director that made Wuthering Heights.
Yep.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but... Yeah, I think it's Damien Chazelle's cinematographer as well.
Yeah, look. You know? Oh, sure. Dude, I fucking love Babylon. Babylon is so underrated.
Babylon is going to be a cult classic in a few years.
I still got to finish it. Because I got up to think, like, the middle of the party at the beginning. It was, I liked what I saw, but I got to admit, like, because I was eating Chipotle at the time. So, like, the elephant part kind of took me out.
Yeah, dude, I saw that with my ex, and she was like, the fuck am I watching? I was like, keep watching.
you're watching it, a cult classic. Thank you very much.
I do got to finish it though.
Yeah, first Man, La La Land, Joy, American Hustle, Promising Land, and it's a lot of shorts. And then he got picked up. And again, First Man was shot really well. IMAX cameras. La La Land core shot really well. Yeah, No Time to Die had phenomenal cinematography.
Yeah, that movie goes. That movie goes hard.
That cinematography, the opening scene of him with the mask walking in the snow is shot perfection.
Because I saw No Time to Die in theaters with Kaylin.
Yeah.
When we, like, the movie's over, the credits are rolling.
Yeah.
She turns to me, she goes, wow, you know, that was my first ever James Bond movie. I said, oh.
Excuse
the blood
me?
Drained from my whole entire body, bro.
Bro, I know you're sitting there like this. Let's be real. You're looking like this, bro. You were.
I was, because I didn't know, like, what to say, because it's like, it's literally, how do you react to that?
Oh, damn.
Hey. Like, I said, when you say, like, your first James Bond movie, like, what exactly do you mean? She's like, I've never seen a James Bond movie before this one.
Wow.
Oh my god. Like, I feel like I failed you as a partner.
You trusted me and I failed you.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
But no, he's doing that, which I'm like, okay. But yeah, I do great, but dude, Greg Fraser in this movie, man. I mean, really Greg Fraser. I mean, so we saw it last night at the screening. It was in Cine XL, which is the premium format here in Harkins. And what was cool was that the ratio still changed in the Cine XL. So it was like widescreen when he's on Earth, and then it was full blown when he's in space or on the ship. I was on this to Moses when we walked out. I'm like, we walked out. I was like, me and Nick were saying, like, well, like, this must be crazy in IMAX. Now hearing it from you that it is good in IMAX is like, this must be a must see in IMAX. Because again, I think now with Greg Fraser doing now the Dune movies and I-143, now this, it's like, wow, he's kind of like one of those guys I had to look out for like him, and now Autumn, who won the Oscar for Sinners, obviously Hoyta Bahoyama, who's Nolan's guy for IMAX, where it's like, I feel like we're seeing a lot more filmmakers now really expand to the 1.43 into 70mm a lot more than we did maybe a year ago, with kind of Hoyta being the, oh my God, what was his original DP for Dark Knight? Who was Nolan's guy originally?
I was thinking Wally Pfister.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Yes,
Wally Pfister. Yes, thank you, Nick. That's him. So he was kind of like the pioneer of it all. And then Hoyta got involved. And then whoever the DP was for Ghost Protocol. But now we're seeing people really kind of stick with that format, whether it's Hoyta, now Greg, now probably Linus now. So it's like cool to see more DPs really kind of like embrace it and stick with that for their movies. I hope not. The Beatles won't be in 1.43. That'd be very weird. See that movie 1.43.
I don't even think that movie is probably gonna get like an IMAX like release, because they're doing like four versions.
Yeah,
they're doing
too much.
They're doing four movies, but you know, you focus on one character for each movie, and it's kind of like strange.
That is kind of interesting.
Because it's like, you're not gonna, I don't know if they know, but the Beatles are like very old, and I think Gen Z don't really know them that much. you know?
Yeah.
Like
the hipsters, the hipster ones do. That's about it.
You know what I mean? It's like Gen Z knows like Michael Jackson because like, you know, everybody knows Michael Jackson.
Bro,
or whatever.
Yeah, of course.
Everybody for the rest of fucking history is going to know Jackson is, man.
Oh, yeah.
But it's no like, doubt. It's like, you know, it's like for the Beatles, it's like, I might've listened to one or two Beatles songs, but it's like, you know what I mean? Like, I might be like, you know what? Maybe the fourth one, I'm just going to wait to watch it at home. You know what I mean?
Hey, maybe wow. I'll wait to watch all of them at home. I'm teasing everyone
it's,
working on the Beatles.
It's a risk because, again, you're going to have four separate movies. Risk, yeah. And think about it, too. Yeah. The main, I feel like really like, I don't want to be a dick, but like the most popular ones are John Lennon and Paul McCartney. Like, no offense to Ringo and George Harrison, but it's like, I feel like people think of the Beatles, they think of more John Lennon and Paul McCartney. But
I don't
again,
even know which who's playing part in Paul McCartney here. Which one?
I think
is
it's
it
past,
is it Paul?
Who? Yeah, hold up. Who's playing who? Paul Mescal. Yeah, okay. Paul Mescal is playing.
Oh, okay.
Harris Dickinson is playing. John Lennon, George Harrison's played by Joseph Quinn, and then Barry Keoghan's playing Ringo Starr. Barry Keoghan, man, I'm honestly like I thought he was fine in Dunkirk. He has not impressed me really in a while. I think he's kind of playing this kind of like he's playing roles that don't really like he doesn't really work well these roles for some reason. I thought he was miscast in Crime 101, and he was good in Saltburn because he was playing a fucking weirdo. But
I never you know, seeing you so mad about a movie. You were talking about Crime 101.
Oh, dude, that was
like,
I was the only one. Me and Nino, the only two that liked this movie. And I was so pissed. I wanted to see it. I wanted to love this movie. And I was like, I don't know what it was. I just didn't hit. And I was sad. I was like, I wanted to love that movie. I wanted to love that movie. Because
the trailer looked like kind of boring to me. Like, the trailer didn't grab me. But then I saw that it was, you know, it got like some pretty high ratings. And then,
Yeah.
That was it. Sorry, I kind of spaced on that.
No, you're good. But so Greg. So Crime 101's Barry Keoghan will be in the Beatles movies.
When is it released? When does it come out? When is it
released? April 7th, 2028.
Okay.
In two years.
I did like Barry Keoghan in the deleted scene of the Batman though. I did like that scene.
I kind of didn't.
You didn't like that?
I didn't either. It was filmed well, but...
It was filmed well, but it didn't really like... I was like, I don't really want to see Batman. Let me start Batman. I don't really want to see Joker
again.
I'm with y'all. My thing is, like, I love seeing, like, just different versions of the same character. Like, I like seeing, like, new takes on unfamiliar characters and stuff.
I'm glad
that it was a deleted scene though, because I feel like if it was actually in the movie, it would have distracted a little bit. But I like the creepiness. I like how just, you know, I like how fucked up his face was. I like that it's like they already had a history, but it's like that's not what this movie's about, which is why we're not really gonna focus on it. Yeah, he looks fucked up, my guy.
It was end credit scene. But it's not that the fact that he was playing that role. It's just the fact that I don't really need to see
Joker.
Him like right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's why I like that they just basically removed him from the movie. Because again, it does take away like from the Riddler and from like Falcone and everything like that.
Yeah.
Good scene, just not for this particular movie.
He
was cool in Eternals though. I liked Eternals.
Oh, that's right. He's Fry's in Eternals. I forgot he was in that movie.
I forgot he's in. Yeah, he's also in Eternals.
When I saw it in theaters, when you hear him laugh, the actual scene, and people were clapping, I was like, not Joker again. I was like, oh, here we go. I was like, oh, brother. I was like, oh, here we go. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see if they bring him back. But Casey kind of booked him busy, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see, but man, I'm really happy that Greg Frazier teamed up with these guys on this movie, and I'm thinking my dad to see it next week in IMAX. He wants to see this movie really badly too, so I'm seeing IMAX with him. I'm looking forward to seeing the aspect ratio changes and everything in 70 millimeter.
Good. The aspect ratio changes. You know, they change from, you know, because it's, you know, they go from, you know, like from I don't know. Is I feel like it's gonna be a spoiler if I talk about it or whatever.
No, it's when they're in. So we saw last night in the Sydney XL, the premium format. It changed for when they're on Earth. When they're Earth, it's widescreen. Yeah. When they're in space or on the ship, it's the 1.4:1.43.
Yeah, it's that 1.43 aspect ratio.
Yeah. So we saw it change in our Sydney XL screening last night, but you saw how it actually blew up the way it should have blown up with the 1.43. Yeah. Which is really cool. So I'm really happy that Amazon is now getting involved with IMAX releases too, like this. Cause I feel like the last IMAX release probably what Red One. Remember when The Rock was like, "Yeah, see my movie in IMAX." And like, bro, your shit has no aspect ratio changes.
This man said, "I saw Hammer in IMAX." I said, "That's what my Christmas action thriller movie." Due respect to Dwayne Johnson, fuck out of here with.
And that movie stayed the ratio the entire time. Fuck out of here.
Bro, my goodness. And it's crazy because it's like in December of this year, that movie, Jumanji 3, it's like it's coming out like a few days before, you know, Dune and Doomsday, which is
they might crazy. As well just not release it.
That's why
if that's crazy, the case,
bro.
I read an article today actually that said Sony is very worried about that.
Move it to next year.
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say it's a Christmas movie because I've seen like a few behind the scenes and it's set during Christmas season, whatever. I get that, but still,
Jumanji
it's like,
is.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, they did the same thing. Well, they did the same thing last time. Last few movies, two movies. Jumanji came out the week after Star Wars did, but to their credit, Star Wars Episode 8 wasn't that well received, so people wanted to see Jumanji, and that movie made damn near $1 billion. The problem, though, with the last one is that came out the week before Star Wars Episode 9, and despite that movie not being well received as much for Episode 9, that movie, Jumanji the Next Level, got like crushed because it came out the week before Star Wars, and no one was talking about Jumanji after that movie came out. And then you had Uncut Gems come out, you had all Oscar movies come out, so Jumanji came out at a wrong time. And the article today I read was that like Sony is worried about that movie's release date. I'm like, I would be too, because that we were done after that movie comes out that weekend. We're done. Because then you have Dune and all the premium formats in IMAX. You have Avengers same weekend. And then you have the holiday break where everyone's on vacation and traveling and people coming together. Move that movie. You gotta move it. You gotta move it for your own sanity and for your own profits and returns. Move.
Why would you put it for that date?
Why?
Like, what are y'all thinking?
I it's crazy because also, like, the last movie almost made, like, $1 billion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Last movie, you know, Jumanji 2 or whatever it is, like almost made, right? It was like 800.
The first one made damn near $1 billion. The second someone did good too. The third one did good too, but like that first one made, remember? Because it was like number one in the box office for weeks. Remember? It was a surprise.
Yeah, it was.
It was a surprise. Was. They were like, whoa, what? Yeah. And people kept coming back to it, came back. You know what? Because again, it was like, it was alternate programming where it was like when Star Wars 8 wasn't that well received, Jumanji came out. And then remember, that weekend, Jumanji came out. So did Greatest Showman came out the same weekend, too.
Yeah,
and those movies just stayed for weeks and weeks and weeks. And they had all this like word of mouth and people going back to them and people were liking them. And they're kind of surprises. But yeah, Jumanji was a huge surprise and damn near $1 billion movie. It just worked.
Mm.
And remember, the opening weekend was like 30 mil and a movie made 900 something mil, so it makes money, but you're gonna get destroyed if you leave that date there with Doomsday and Dune. That's a big no-no.
Bro, it's crazy.
That's a big no-no.
Oh.
Nope. Oh. But
the move.
I can't wait for this movie on IMAX. You know, and what I loved about it too is that really this movie, again going back to Hail Mary real quick, is that the practical effects in this movie worked so well. I saw interviews with Lord and Millen saying that if we do it practical, and you see it, like when he's walking to Rocky's thing, the whole tunnel thing, practical. Yeah. Well, not on the set, practical. And like even the scenes where you see in the trailer with the green, it looks so good. It looks so good. And they kind of took like the Chris Nolan route of like shoot things with like maybe some lights with some like digital things in the background, like build your sets, but make it practical. And also Rocky was practical for the most part. Yes, I know CGI a little bit of it, but like they actually had a puppet. They actually had a puppeteer.
That's great.
It was cool too. Is that the guy who was the puppeteer was also the voice of Rocky too? This guy right here. Yeah.
Crazy.
The James Ortiz. I hope this is his real name. I was watching. James Ortiz. Yeah. So he's the puppeteer, and Phil and Lord and Miller loved him so much that hey, you want to voice him too? So they let him do the voice of Rocky too, which is really cool. I love that. So. Practical effects, again, it's when you guys have a big budget like this, it makes it feel real, it makes it feel more believable, you're more immersed, and you add the IMAX. Again, you see it all the time. Sinners with Coogler, practical effects, IMAX, it works. Dune, practical effects with the CGI, it works. Nolan, of course, practical effects, IMAX. Like, these movies work well when you have an IMAX and practical effects together, because it makes it feel so much more grand in scale and scope, and you feel more immersed. It's really cinematic, cinematic immersion, and it just works. It works. I love that Lord and Miller took the risk on this and really made it like feel like unique and special. And I will say this too. I thought that even the supporting cast, our guy from Loiter Squad, and the Bear. Lionel Bryce, Lionel Boyce. He was great. He was really good. He was really good. He was good.
I knew for scenes, but that's just because of how likable he was in the role.
He was very very likable, and he had good chemistry with that scene at Home Depot. Was really funny. The two of them. Really funny. And then even Sandra Hüller, who again I knew her. She was in that Fall movie that I wasn't too crazy about, but she.
Which one was the Fall? Great. Which one was that?
She
and Anatomy of the Fall. I didn't see it, but like, okay. I mean, I know she's like very, very talented. I can see that she's really, really like great actress, man.
She's very her comedy is very dry, but it works.
I did love the dry humor. I'm a big fan of that. So
her humor in this work when it was dry, because it was like you can see like them playing off each other between her and Ryan Gosling, which worked too. And there was a few scenes where she frightened me. I won't spoil it for you, but there's one scene where
I know what you're talking about.
Regarding a needle, I'll say that much, where I was like, whoa. And I was kinda sitting there, I was like, oh no.
No, that was a tough scene to watch.
Yeah. So, and it worked. That in the karaoke scene worked really well, the two of them as well. But like they played off really well with each other, and I like that a lot. Also, too, that like, I like that they cast her. They didn't cast. Again, I'm a big fan of Rose Byrne, but they cast like someone like a Rose Byrne or a Kristen Wiig. Like they cast someone like her, where it was like she's not really well known quite yet, but like
she's great, man.
She's so good in this. But like, if they cast someone like a Rose Byrne or Kristen Wiig or another actress, it would have been like, oh, I see this person or I see this actress. Like it would have taken away from like the role itself.
And plus, with Sandra Hüller. I think because of her kind of because of the dry humor aspect of her, like because she's a little bit not robotic, you know what I mean? She, you know, very like reserved, very quiet. Yeah, you believe her a lot more, like in this role of like
you believe this can like happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you believe her in this role as like I'm a government official basically, and it's like I'm kind of looking at the bigger picture. It's like I don't enjoy some of the shit that I gotta do, but I have to do it. Mm-hmm. So I guess she played that role like very, she played that aspect of the role like very, very well.
Very well.
Yeah.
Like someone with like, as you mentioned, like Kristen Wiig or someone else like that, like they probably would have been believable, I don't think they would have sold the seriousness situation.
Not at all.
Yeah.
No, no, exactly. Perfectly said. No, and I'm glad they casted her. I'm really glad they casted her. And again, I think that's what's like cool about Ryan Gosling too. I think Ryan Gosling really, same thing. He enhances his supporting cast, but also they also enhance him, his performance as well too. I feel like when you see him stuff like Nice Guys, him and Russell Crowe work well together, or stuff like the Fall guy, him and Emily Blunt work really well together, or obviously in Barbie, him and Margot, he really like. I feel like he, you see his, or even with his actual wife, Eva Mendes, in Place Beyond the Pines. Like, it works. Like, it really works. Like, his supporting cast enhances his performance, but he also does the same thing for them. And that's kind of like, oh, again, think about Crazy Stupid Love, too. Like, him and Steve Carell, or him and Emma Stone. It just, it really, like, he knows how to, like, really work with people very well and collaborate. Kind of really kind of like this, like, good, like, kind of actor-on-actor kind of thing that always, to me, shines in his movies. But yeah, I love this movie, man. What it too is, you know, the whole thing with Rocky as well is that I was getting this movie kind of, almost like a greatest mix hits of like Stanley Kubrick, right 2001, even except too, the one shot where all the red, he was like, oh, 2001, like right 2001. Very, it's a very Kubrick-esque kind of movie. And the heart and the humor is very Steven Spielberg, but kind of 80s Amblin with like the E.T. kind of feel to it with like, you know, I really think Lord and Miller kind of really kind of like brought their A-game, but also they took inspiration from, again, Stanley Kubrick, a bit of Chris Nolan, maybe Denis a little bit, but definitely Spielberg. Spielberg and Kubrick are very heavily inspired this movie, I felt like. But no, I love this movie. I think if they ever adapt more movies of this author, let Drew Goddard write these movies. He proved it once again with The Martian, now with this movie. Let Drew Goddard be the guy to adapt this guy's work forever. Like, just give it, just give him, give him the rights. Just give him the rights. And no, I love this movie. And then all three of us loved it. And this is like what like going to the movies is all about. So you see a movie like this, again, in big in scope and scale. I think it's really, to me, sci-fi perfection, because it just, it's everything you want in a sci-fi movie and more when you have comedy and adventure and a good score and like the stakes are there too. Like, the, again, there's an opening scene where you see people like deceased and you're like, whoa, but you're like, holy shit. Yeah. This is like, this is dark. It gets dark a lot of times as well. But again, that's when you see filmmakers like Lord and Miller really know, they know how to do the balance of the different genres very well. And I think it's really refreshing to see filmmakers take risks, take chances, but really balance genres very respectfully. Like, you don't land too much with the two of them. If you blend them together very well, it just works, man. It just works. And again, Ryan Gosling, add another one to his list. And I'm still mad that the Fall Guy flopped the way it did. I fucking love the Fall Guy. And
that movie was
great, and I'm so mad that movie flopped. But I don't know. It's really cool to see Amazon really also to really still invest in big movies like this as well. Because again,
I think
go ahead.
I was gonna say, I think the Fall Guy flopped because they saw The Gray Man, and they're like,
that's unfortunate. That is true.
Well, it ain't gonna, they're like that. That's gonna be a no for me, dog.
No. I can't argue with you on that. I'm with you there on that. The Gray Man could have been a bit better. That wasn't the best outing. That wasn't their best outing. But no, when you see stuff like this, you're like, oh, this is what it's all about. And
yeah, no, 100%, man.
I feel like now with him in sci-fi, this and Blade Runner back to back. I mean, his two sci-fi movies. I'm like, hey, man, like, keep it up, man.
Yeah,
like, keep
Blade Runner is one of the best sci-fis ever.
Yes, sir. Know? He's perfect, man. And again, too, like, look at, I mean, his directors, too. You work with, the Drive director again?
Nicholas Winding Refn.
Thank you. You got him. You work with someone like Denis. Now you work with Lorna Miller, David Leitch, the Russos, Shane Black with Nice Guys.
All the Nice Guys.
I mean,
you can work with Greta Gerwig.
Greta Gerwig. Oh my gosh, Greta Gerwig. Yeah, Chazelle. Like, dude. I mean, this dude. I mean, again, I think what I talked about before on this podcast is that when actors really, you know, chase the directors, not the bag. Unlike some actors we all know and love, but
when you chase the directors, 100%. I think it should be the other way around. Like you're saying, it's like I feel like actors should chase the directors. Which essentially, you know, really, really helps the career, like, out a lot. It really, really transforms the career a lot, you know? Mm-hmm.
And it can't just be about the money, even though money does make the world go around. But no, like, when they, like, try to find projects specifically for, like the sake of the art, or just, like, you know, like, I really fuck with this director, or, like, how they tell story, you know, this director, this producer, this writer, like, whatever. I feel like that, like, what you guys are saying, that's when performances really shine.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, and so,
it works. Yeah. It works. Yeah, I'm giving this. Sorry, Moses, you first. Actually, what out of 10, what would you give this?
I'll give this. You know, I'll give this a, you know, like an 8.5. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. 8.5, almost close to like 9. You know, it's up there.
Yeah. I'm with you there. I'm in between the 8.5 and a 9, but I think I'm gonna land to 8.5. I'll be honest. Yeah. After seeing this in IMAX, I might give it a 9. Seeing this in 70mm, so I may change it down the road. But
you might, yeah.
I'm with you though. I'm giving out 8 and 8.5 right now because again, it's very emotional, very heartfelt, and to your point too, Moses, like you feel inspired after this movie too. I felt inspired. Yeah. I got in the feels a couple of times where I was like, I'm crying at this sci-fi movie, which is awesome. I love that. I love crying in movies in general, but like crying in a genre film really makes me kind of feel like a kid again. I feel like, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, this is making me emotional again. Mm-hmm. But I pick 8.5 right now, but it's a good chance for a 9 after seeing it in IMAX. And we'll end on that. But real quick, before we do our social media shout outs. All right. So favorite movie of the year so far for you, Moses, is this correct? Hail Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nick, so far it's March. Favorite movie of the year so far.
I got to go with Hail Mary as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I wish I could say this right now, but Ready or Not 2 is still my favorite movie of the year right now.
Freaking knew it.
It is right now because man, again, yeah. Rightfully so. Again, like I said I have a bias because I at the South by Southwest premiere, so that's what it is. But I do love this movie though. Can't wait to watch it again, and I'm looking forward to seeing IMAX. And I hope see this movie opening weekend, see it in theater, see it on IMAX. Please, go see this movie on the biggest screen possible with the crowd, the biggest popcorn, the biggest icy, whatever. Like, see films like this on the big screen because, again, it is not the same watching it on your phone, your iPad, your watch, your clock, whatever, your Alexa. Like, no.
Alexa, no.
But it's like, really though, like, it's you want to see, like, films like this on the biggest screen with a crowd. And this is why we go to the movies, and this is a prime example of that. But, yeah, guys, check out this movie. Go support Lorna Miller and Ryan Gosling's movies. Awesome. Alrighty, folks. Nick, where can our lovely audience find you at home on the socials?
You can find me here, right here, at the Genre of Your Life podcast. You can find me on Instagram at AhmadJohnson98. And of course, always and most importantly, right here in your heart, in your soul. I will never die. I am everlasting.
I'm invincible.
Oh, speaking of invincible, I just saw the season 4 episode 1 for today.
How was it?
I'm not going to spoil it. I liked it. I can't wait to see the rest of the other season.
You got to watch it too.
It was because I didn't realize that it dropped already.
I thought it was May or something. I thought it was in April or May for some reason.
I thought it was next year. I saw on Instagram someone was like, yo man, I love Invincible. I was like, oh shit, it's already out.
I gotta watch that too.
It's good.
Moses, my friend.
Yeah, you can check me out on Instagram. You can also check me on my website. So I gotta say the freaking name. At Moses Lawi _ on IG, and of course on my website too as well. But you can also check me out right here. The Genre of Life podcast. And also in your heart.
Hell yeah. No, can't forget that. Mind, body, and soul. Top that, guys. No, you can find me, of course, with these amazing guys with 100, hopefully. What does he say in Deadpool? Till you're 90. Till you're fucking 90. 100 episodes, more and more and more. This is one of my greatest honors of my life. I do it with two of my favorite people in the world, two of my best friends. If you're lucky enough to do what we do and you know, work with your friends and you know people you love, it's the best thing ever. I'm grateful for these guys, but for the show, 100 episodes seems like, again, life has been good and bad the past 4 years of the show for all of us. But you know what? It's being with these guys still this day and 100 episodes later, I'm just so honored to be with you guys, honored to be have the show with you guys and share Midway Avenue with you guys. This is our thing. We built this. We grew this together. So thank you guys for what you guys do and this being in this together with all of us. But of course, you can find me, of course, right here at this amazing podcast. Of course, my Instagram, of course, is at The Young Jones. You can find me on Twitter or X at Capri Sun. And look out for our socials again. Midway Avenue Productions. I have a lot more to post for you all for coverage. I'm going to be bombarding everyone this week on social media with recaps and Q&As on YouTube, stuff like that. I have so much to upload for Q&As from Pizza Movie, Normal, Forbidden Fruits. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So go on YouTube page. Look out for all our cool footage, our Q&As, our intros. And of course, I'm doing a lot more recaps again on our Instagram and TikTok. Look out for that. But thank you all for tuning in to this action-packed week episode. Thank you all for watching us, listening to us, sharing with your friends and family. And more importantly, thank you for going to the movies. Thank you. We hope that you love movies the way we do, or the movie-going experience. And you know, the show's always been very pro-theatrical. We appreciate streaming, don't get us wrong, but like at the heart and soul of this movie, of the show, this is built on our love for theatrical and movie theaters. So again, so do your part. Go to the movies. Get a big icy, a popcorn, red vines, whatever. Bring your Dune bucket that you might be doing some things to the movie theater.
Don't do that. No, that's not what them buckets is for. That's
no, thank you, thank you. Yeah, or the one guy brought that one to the Doom screening that me and Nick went to, and Nick he was there. It is.
No, I was so because we went up to the stand and he was like, sorry, we don't have any, and this motherfucker walked out with one. I was like, ah,
like damn, that was my night. Damn it. But
it
no,
it should have been me.
It should have been me. Oh man. But no, seriously, go to the movies, do your part, see the big, go to the big screen, go to IMAX, Regal, Cinemark, AMC, Harkins, whatever, or Alamo Drafthouse. But thank you all for tuning into this week. Thank you all. See you next week for next week's episode. As always, our friends, we will see you guys at the movies.